this thing. No title again.
And I did lonely be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
We, like Anthony says, we got our energy from doing this stuff, from sharing this information, from connecting with people. But it's really amazing that this thing is still valuable to people. We still get emails from people once in a while.
That's Mark talking about.
I often talk about Scarborough Dude.
Uh-oh.
I love listening to his podcast because he helps me learn more about me. And he also... And I'm not saying this in a pejorative way, as in,
hey.
Scarborough Dude's a flawed human being, and so everybody else can be flawed because of that.
I like that.
He helps you, he allows you to be honest about your own limits, your own failings, and that it's okay to have them, because ultimately, if you put the energy into paying attention, looking inwards, and assessing yourself and figuring out where your flaws are, then it's okay, you know, and you can address them. And it's okay to go back later on after having a big, huge fight with your son and apologizing, saying, you know what, I was out of line. Now, of course, Andrea has got me into Brené Brown, who...
All right. He's not talking about me anymore.
We're going to bet her through Ted.
We're going to fade him out right there. Thanks, Mark.
But I had seen Brené Brown's TED Talk, and I thought it was a really cool talk. In fact, it made me...
I really didn't know that was coming. And of course,
Andrea found her somehow.
I'm not shortchanging anybody. I'm just saying go listen to his podcast. That is Walking with Mark. Is it called Walking? No, just one more word. Mark. Yeah, Mark My Books, something like that. Anyway, thanks, Mark. I love starting off my podcast clips as I sit in my car listening to somebody else's. And I didn't know my name was going to come up at that time, honestly. It was just kind of funny. And that episode of Mark's, the most recent, put out on the 17th, I believe. The picture of the Sharknado. It's almost like a Canadian podcast buffet, because he's talking about other podcasters and his own, a bit of the history, so it's kind of cool. There really is a sense of community, and I think we are all making it stronger and stronger as we cross-reference each other, and I think that's a wonderful thing about it, and I know... There's a dividing line, because a lot of people still don't. Of course they don't do that, and you don't have to do that. You can just, bam, straightforward, put out your podcast. This is this show. It stands on its own, and there's no need for it to refer to anybody else's. But within this great, wide-ranging mix of podcasts, there are quite a few of us who do know that we listen to each other. And enjoy it and feed on it in a way and give to each other. And that's a wonderful thing, too. So there you go. Mark my words. that was a happy little bump to the start of the day. Start of the day, it's noon. I'm in Bluffers Park. Beautiful sunny day. The parking lot is great. This is the boat launch area. And it's just... a sheet of snow on top of what was a couple of days ago a sheet of ice. And it's great. You can just drive your car anywhere. You can slide it if you want to. It's winter in Canada. Even just looking out at the tire tracks, how they intersect and cross each other, it's neat. It's neat. It's too cold for me to walk. I've got my my shacks on. These are the most comfortable shoes for walking. But... damn it, my feet get cold, and I'm not wearing, like, extra heavy socks, which I should be, although I've got a pair in the car. I could change later. I need to be walking. I gotta start getting rid of this flab that I'm holding on to now, you know? And you can only do that through diet and exercise. And so this morning, there's half a banana. I always take half a banana with my cold cereal. Whenever I see the other half of a banana, I think, well, it's cold cereal day. I'm not going to make myself a fried egg sandwich until that banana's gone. Then I have the option. But meanwhile, my wife makes noodles and vegetables and a broth and things I don't even know. She puts it on the boil, on the stove, and is making a completely different breakfast, which turned into a lunch. By the time I left at noon, as she handed me the bag with my pajamas. And my request, I might not make it home tonight. Would you mind just getting my pajamas? My pajamas? And she so kindly did and handed them over to me. And the last thing I heard as I closed the front door to our home was her slurping her noodles. And slurping is very much a Japanese sound. This is how you get the real taste and flavor that you have to. That's the way you eat udon or noodles in Japan. And that was the last thing I heard. I don't know what the dividing lines are on these podcasts and what I should say and what I shouldn't say. And sometimes I think back, oh, God, if somebody else said that, I might hang up on them. I might stop listening to them. And so there are bound to be many times when there are parts of my podcast that listeners might cringe a little bit at. That said, I would just want to go on to say how happy I am to have the partner that I do in life and how good she has been to me and how much I think as I left, as she handed me the bag of pajamas because I might stay at Brian. She knows, you know, Brian is a streetcar that runs all night and I started to explain, well, there's a band playing at the Eden House. I might be late. Just go. But in a nice way so she can get back to her noodles. Wow. Flock of birds just taking off. Not birds, fucking swans. That's not nice, fucking swans. Sorry, I didn't need that. Anyway, she gave me a haircut today, too. She's been after me, you know, go get your haircut today. But we, in the past, distant past, she used to do my haircuts. And so she went into the closet and came out with the little clippers and scissors and my comb. And she gave me a wonderful haircut. And it was so nice just to sit there after she had made my coffee and hers to sit in a chair and just feel a little buzz in the trim and did a very nice job. And that's just, it's just quite wonderful, that's all. I'm a very lucky man. And then again, I chose wisely. I hunted to find my wife. And of course, there's a certain degree of fate that enters that picture. And perseverance. And patience. And a lot of other things. And, you know, it wasn't smooth sailing all the time. You know that. If you've been listening to this for a long time, for 10 years. But it's in a nice place now. And I'm glad of that. So, things are good on the home front. Let's park it right there before I go on too much more. That's the part where I say I don't know if that's a line to cross or talking about things going on in your life, but I'm just grateful for an awful lot. Yes, I thanked her as I left. As she handed me the bag of clothes, I said, and thank you for the scarf, and thank you for the hat, and thank you for the shirt I'm wearing, and thank you for the leather jacket. All the things which she has bought for me, all in her very good taste. So, yeah, I guess that's it. I don't want this to sound like a bragging match. I got a great wife. That's not what I mean. I'm just reminding myself that I'm a very fortunate man. All right, let's move on. I got an interview Wednesday. An interview, sort of like a job interview that I have to prepare for today. I'm going into my office to do some reading, some research, to fill out an application form. And this is that thing I talked about in December when I saw these opportunities came up at my college to travel with students as an advisor or whatever, a lead, a guide. I'm told since I'm only a part-time teacher that I can only be an advisor. And the role of the advisor is to be their support of the other teachers, of course, on the program. Or I don't even know if they're teachers. They might be administrators. But to help the students prepare for the trip, to do activities, to sort of have lessons where they can, I guess, get their head in the right place, prepare for the adventures they're about to go on. and then be with them there for support, for listening, and of course to handle any emergencies and everything else. And then to be with them when they come back, to help them digest what it is they've gone through and reflect on it. And I honestly, I don't think there's a job anywhere that I'm better qualified for when I combine all my past experience. I just have to convey that to them. And I'm not always good at that in the moment. You know, I either might come up with a little bit too cocky or a little too cautious. I don't know. I don't like being on this side. I like being on the interviewer side where, hey, I'll ask the questions. Here it is. There'll be a team of people. So I'm going to prepare myself as best I can for them. And I'd said, well, I feel most qualified for the trip to Ghana. You know, wow, Ghana, West Africa. I would love to go back. And she said, well, just be prepared. That's the most popular, the most in demand. Be prepared to consider our other programs in Nicaragua and Ecuador. And even one on the Arizona-Mexican border, which I'm not too interested in. But the others, holy shit. Ecuador? South America? Wow. Yeah. So, boys and girls, I'm going ahead. I'm going to at least apply. Whether or not I get it, doesn't matter. The thing is to apply for it. And you remember me backing down on a podcast, talking to you, saying, no, I got too much going on and going to be too busy. No, I don't know what's involved. I don't have time for this. And pulling out. And this is from the guy who's always saying, push yourself that little bit extra. Give yourself that little extra shove, especially as you grow older. Now, I'm talking about somebody 65, but I think it applies to people in their 30s and 40s who are feeling a little too tired to do this, or you get in a rut, and you sort of just get in this pattern of, well, no, and nothing's going to break outside that pattern because you're just in a comfort zone. Now, sometimes we need that in our lives, and sometimes maybe it's a charging time, and that's okay. I'm not saying get out continually and be breaking whatever it is you've built. But just be careful that you don't come a prisoner of your own habits and patterns and comforts. And when there are opportunities that present themselves to you, to be wide open about it and really consider. And very often it might not be the right thing at all. And have the sense to know, no, that's not for me. Not at this time in my life. I'd be giving up this, this, and this. Or it's not something I feel right about or whatever. But be open to opportunities, to changes, to the dynamic flow of life where, wow, things change. You know, it's never meant to be always the same, always comfortable, always what, you know, in whatever box you've built for yourself. So that's all. So anyway, I'm going to stop there. I don't know what else I've said. I'm just glad to know that there was a turning point and it really came down to when I got the phone call saying those two courses, the ones I was dreading, the 8:30s Monday morning for an extra course, those two extra classes had been dropped. And suddenly I felt freer. I've got more time. And that really helped. A second approach from the dean saying, you really should follow up on this. We're looking for mature people. Really was a push, a boost. And so I went to see the person in charge of the program. I felt I was going to go in and you tell me about it, I'll decide if I want it. And it flipped over. I became just a sucky little applicant. Yeah, that sounds good. She was I was very impressed with the person in charge. She just seemed to exist. Some people, you know, you meet them and they seem to be existing on a higher level. They've got their shit together. Quite young, but boy, oh boy, she's got some strength and confidence from somewhere. And immediately she just won my respect. And I just want to do the best I can to show them that I am also qualified and would not be doing a disservice to the university were I to take this on. So, I guess that's it. I just need to park this, digest this. Maybe I'll put this out before there's any decision made. I did get asked by the same person who dropped my courses, emailed me and said, okay, now I'd like to call in my favor. there is another course. Would you mind taking on? And it was very tough to say thanks, but no thanks. I ended it by saying, I hope this is an offer that, I hope this is not an offer that I can't refuse. And my concluding line is, for the record, I don't have a horse, or something stupid like that. In other words, you know, the reference to The Godfather, which I thought was funny. I don't know that he did, because I did turn him down for a favor that he had, I knew was going to call in. But if I'm to take this, my good excuse was, hey, I'm applying for something else and I'm really going to need time for it. So we'll see. Stay tuned. Just wanted you to know the Scarborough Dude is not yet ready to pack it in. There may be adventures ahead. And we're only talking like 10 days, 2 weeks for any of these programs. But hey, it's all the stuff before and all the stuff after and all the stuff that I'm excited about. One more thing, and this may be the end of the podcast. I got the idea the other day. You know those people I worked with when I did 5 years as a youth justice committee, and you always had to assign things for the kids. Okay, you have to. There are follow-ups, consequences for your misbehavior, whatever you stole or did, or the fight you're in, whatever it is. We don't want you to have a police record. We want you to have a clean slate, so you've still got a chance at a future and could still get into the police, fire department, whatever, if you don't screw up again and get into the states, etc., etc. So we don't want you to have a criminal record, but in return, you've got to do this, this, and this. And I quit partly because it was like rubber stamping in the end. It was always, all right, you're going to take this cooking course. You're going to take this leadership course. You're going to take this, you know, put in this many community hours. And then I didn't always feel that they always matched the person itself or the thing that they did. And I thought, you know what would be great for these students? Is a course that they could take at the college I teach at that would actually give them a college credit, which would give them a boost of confidence, because a lot of these kids are failing in high school. That's part of the problem, right? They're just not doing it. And it would be very strict, very hard to ask, man, you got to come. You get to miss two max. Third one, you're out. You don't get the credit. You failed to meet the criteria, which is keeping you away from the judge. Bam. So you've got a really heavy handle on them, because there is a problem with attendance to these things. You have to attend. You've got to be on time, or there will be consequences. And I had thought I would be the guy to propose this to the college. Now, this is one of those pipe dreams, literally. Literally a pipe dream? Well, you know, it came to me the next day when I was having my shower. And I thought I would be the perfect guy, because I've already worked with these guys and I'm already a teacher at the college. I can see how all the pieces fit. Now, the part that may not fit, which might be pushing it, is I wanted to have it. I wanted it to be that From the Beats to the Beatles course. Mostly to say, hey, you guys listen to rap or this shit. Well, where did that come from? What's the history of people telling their stories? Well, it's these people who knock down the barriers, who open the gates for people to express themselves in different ways. But that may not be the right approach. But I want to include at least music, poetry, writing, podcasting, all the different elements I'm familiar with and comfortable with to actually make a 15-week credit course. And I hope this doesn't fade. It isn't just a pipe dream. That I have the courage to approach the dean and say, listen, while we're at it. And part of my leverage is, I'm going to do this. I'm going to apply for one of these courses that you suggested I do as an advisor and go to this foreign country with your students. But in return, how about allowing me some flexibility to create a course for you that would serve the community? Because this is all about global citizenship and equity learning experiences. This is what it's about. The school, to its credit, this college, focuses on global citizenship, equity learning experiences. Like, hey, let's make this, what do we need to do to make this a better world? And this is, of course, what I've got to beef myself up on and be able to sell to the school when I go for that interview to say, all right, I have some ideas that students should be doing and ways of expressing themselves and ways to reflect. Blogs, of course, is the common one, but I bet you nobody has ever suggested podcasting an audio feedback form. And that's what I'd like to go ahead with and spring on them. And I don't know if I'm just being a little too cocky and that's not what they want to hear. Just, hey, we just want an advisor. Just follow the pattern everybody else has, which may be the case and may be the way to go. Anyway, I'm just right now taking you live, basically through this experience that may or may not happen, but at least it's a process. And I've already, and I think what's important to note here, if you're not fucking paying attention, some of you aren't, I know, is that I already turned this down. I already shut it off. I already said no, even though my wife and son said yes. And now I'm back to, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm going to try for it. So I'm going to end on that note, and I encourage you to go out and seek adventures of your own if it's the right time and it's the right adventure. Bye for now. Back to Mark. Mark, you still there? Excuse me. Mark?
Conversations with MP staffers or MPs who I've run into. It's so weird because I'm not quite sure how I totally fell into this thing. I know how I fell into the political thing, but now I seem to be known for all this stuff. I talk about the use of digital and politics and political communication.
See, that's an example of what I mean. Stuff. Stepping outside your circle.
Where was I?
Mark has plugged himself into a new world, and to his credit. I admire you for that, Mark. You've created a new business, a new area of expertise.
Who worked in the Library of Parliament.
Okay.
That they were having conversations about digital and the use of digital and promoting in some of the activities that the Library of Parliament is up to. And somehow or another, my name came up. She's taking my class. And her boss, I think, said something like, you should check into this Blevis guy. And she goes, oh, yeah, I'm in his class right now.
Wow. Fucking amazing.
And I've met some political players on the sidewalk once in a while through other connections. And they'll say, oh, yeah, I read your stuff or I've heard about you in the news or whatever. So
good for you, Mark.
Just one of those crazy things of how...
I'm cheering you on.
And how we don't even realize the impact we have, which I think maybe is a nice closing point to tie this all together. I'll bring Andrea back into the discussion very quickly again. For those of you who haven't seen it, I don't even know why this is all coming up, but whatever I think about the value of the connections that we make and the impact that we have, I think of two things. I think of Bob Goyetch talking about how he never in a million years would have been friends with Julian if not for podcasting, because they live in different orbits. And podcasting caused those orbits to intersect in a really good way, and they became friends. That's one. Now, the other one is Andrea's talk at PAB 2010. What did she call it again? Crap. It was a jolt. And it was... The name of it was a play on Arrested Development, Contested Irrelevance. I think that's what it was. And how we often don't realize the impact we have.
You live in Phnom Penh.
You live in New York City.
But I think about you so, 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 so much I forget to eat.
It's 4 a.m., I check my email. 1,000 feet high, flying through the dead of night. I took an Ambien, and you came to visit me in my dream.
You were bed in blue light, floating right in front of me. Your face was so, 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 so bright, I had to close my eyes to see. The first thing that I do is throw my arms around you.
And never let go.
And never let go. Never let go.
Like, I really liked Nico in Grand Theft Auto 4, so I could hang on to him. I never really liked Michael, Trevor, or Franklin.
Yeah, like I said, at first I was sympathetic towards Michael until I kind of understood what he was about and then kind of hated him, or at least disliked him.
Sure. I never hated any of them.
Yeah, I never hated any of them. Franklin's just there. I mean, I think he's your obligatory, like, you're new to the game. Yeah. Here.
I mean, I was bored by, like, it was when Trevor came, showed up the first time, I was like, oh, this guy's so much more interesting than the others two. And I was like, oh, okay. And I had fun for a while, and I got hooked into Trevor, because he's much more interesting. And then they got so much Trevor, like, okay, I need a little less Trevor.
That's a conversation I can't join in on. That is, I believe it's called Internet Boyfriends. Although this particular episode seems to be called To Meditate or Masturbate. Mm. And they are talking about games, gaming. And this is something I have never done, right? When I got our sons the first, I loved when we got Donkey Kong on whatever the operating system was. What was it? Well, you know, was it Nintendo? I don't know. And then eventually moving up to PS3. And I used to love racing on it until my kids could, you know, scream around the course, you know, 5 times faster than I could. I was very cautious. That's about as far as I got, you know, customizing a PT Cruiser. I'd love to actually go back and do it again. Maybe I should ask my son to set it up for me. A couple of racing games, but none of these action games and none of these games where you take on the character like they were talking about Grand Theft Autos. It's just another world. And again, you've only got so much time in your life and you decide, okay, am I going to do this or this or this? I can't do all of these things. So it's a world I don't want to enter. At all. I just could not afford the time. Which is now just after 1 p.m. Sunday, January 18th, 19th, 2014 to be precise, here at Bluffers Park. The 19th. My son is coming home Tuesday from Vancouver, so that's going to be exciting. I haven't even been home yet. I'm just coming back from Brian's, where I crashed last night. He's got a nice bed in his basement that I can, I have access to if the subways have stopped running, or, you know, I'm just not going to make it all the way home. I don't know if this is the beginning of a new podcast or the end of the one I just finished, but, the last one just finished with my wife handing me, a bag with my house, what do you call those? House clothes? Houseware? Homeware? I don't know. Things, you might sleep in them as pajamas, but they're really warm. You can wear them around the house, you know? There was a word for it. My God! Some of you must think, dude, you don't have much of a brain left in your head. You can't come up with names, words, memories, It's awful. And I keep on going, still having fun. Doesn't matter. I probably killed a few brain cells last night with the drinking we did at the Only Cafe and then the Eaton House. I got to the Only Cafe. It was packed, as usual. I'm looking for something here. The bar was taken over by Flying Monkey Brewery, so it was a Flying Monkey night at the Only Cafe. And they had, I think, 19 different types of beer, all Flying Monkeys. And some of them were awful. Oh, my God. I was looking for the paper with the name on it, but that would just involve so much noise and fuss and bother as I searched for it. I did save one because I knew it would be a keeper. Oh, is this it? Something scrunchy. Something. Oh. Might have my hand on it here with the headphones. Is it? Yes, it is. I got it. Okay, Flying Monkey. So the first one I had, I'm going to take you through this because I don't know why I was hungover today. I started off with an orange mungus, an orange ale. Terrible. Then I went to Another World, which was a black IPA, which was pretty strong and it was okay. I went from there to a squashed witch, which was a smoked brown IPA, 6.3% alcohol. From there, oh, God. I guess I went to the Cask Ale, which was the best one, the King of the Monkeys. Hoptical Illusion with Falconer's Flight. That was actually very decent, the best one of the bunch. But they had, like, Night of the Living Gingerbread, Ginger Ale, City and Color Imperial Maple Wheat Ale, 11.5% alcohol, no thank you. It was great. All beers were $5 for a 14-ounce glass. And you just, you know, said, all right, try one of these. So lucky for us, when we arrived, the Only is packed. As you know, it's Toronto's best bar. Sorry, am I shouting? I apologize. It was packed, but we got the table at the front, the prized table at the front. A couple of people were sitting there, and we just sort of, Brian talked our way in, and then we were joined by John Meadows, who some of you may remember from the podcast On the Log. John has morphed into a photographer, doesn't do podcasting anymore, but he still keeps in touch. Good to see John again, it's been a long time. And, of course, Brian, and then the lovely Lisa joined us. And suddenly, next thing I know, I step out for a little root-toot-toot, come back in, or a little from the vaporizer, actually, come back in, and I got cards and money in front of me. Somebody has opened up a game. The Only has a lot of games, and this was the only place on the table big enough to play a game, of Storage Wars. And if any of you have ever seen that show on TV, people bid against a locker, an abandoned locker, to see what's in it, and just hoping they can recover whatever they invested on it. It was a very cool game. I was impressed at how well it was designed. You had four lockers. You'd pull tokens out of a bag, and you planted those tokens so that nobody else could see in those different lockers. You could put them all in one or two in another. And you had a collector's card. And if you were collecting antiques, for example, and one of the chips you picked out was an antique worth $1,100, and you are a collector of it, it's worth double the volume, or double the sum, if you bid the highest bid on that particular locker. There was mold, black mold, and if you got one, a locker, you paid a lot for it, and it had black mold, you lost everything. You didn't get anything on your return. So there'd be a bidding war, because you might know, okay, I put my best thing in locker number two, because you got to get rid of them. You want it back, because you're going to double your money if you're collecting it. But somebody else might have put something good in there, too, and they're going to bid. No, I want 1,000, 1,500. So you bid until you have no money left. If you have to sell some of the things, if you win that locker and you get stuff, if you have to sell any of the stuff to keep on bidding, you only get half price for it. It was very well designed. I was amazed at how much fun it was. I didn't win. I came second. I was quite proud because usually I can't even keep track of whose turn it is. But a blast. And again, with strangers, two people we had never met. But suddenly, at the Only, everybody's a friend. And you talk to people. It is such a fabulous bar. Well, the hangover I had today was a good chance, largely due to maybe that orange Mingus and a couple of the other beer, but we had those, and then we walked up the street to the Eaton House near Pape, I think, because they had a live blues band who were excellent. $8 cover, we refused. I don't think I played the seniors card. I just said, no, don't want that. It's too much. Don't want to pay that. So, I know that sounds cheap, but hey, I'm a pensioner, right? They let us in for $5. All the money going straight back to the band. And because it was towards the end of it, it was their last set, you know, come on. And then foolishly, Brian and I ordered 2 pitchers of beer. So that was our mistake. But great, hop on the subway, hop on the streetcar, bam, you're at Brian's place. Have a cup of tea and wake up the next day feeling very shaky. And then within an hour, Brian's got a breakfast going, bacon and eggs and potatoes and God damn, and you're having a very deep talk about sin. We talked about sin today. And how, if you've done something bad in your life, and of course everybody has, each and every one of you out there listening, knows of things you've done, and some are greater than others, and of course you can decide, well, who calls it a sin? But I think we know in ourselves when we've done something wrong that we feel bad about. And I was asking Brian, being a former Catholic, does confession really help? Like, if you tell somebody about the bad thing you've done, does that make it go away just a little bit? I think we concluded that karma, no, not karma, but doing good things can sort of almost counteract and make up for the bad. There's a scale. You can't undo, you can't take away the things you've done in your past that were not good and that you know of it. You can't. You don't ever want to forget, because it's good that you know what was wrong. At least you've arrived at that point and you realize, wow, I kind of wish I hadn't done that. But what you can do is move forward and do good things for people. I'd like to think maybe this podcast is a little bit of my penance, as much fun as it is for me, that this is a confessional as well. I'm not going to tell you all the bad things I did. My God, that would take up quite a few episodes. And it might sound like I was actually enjoying those things. Ooh. We did agree a lot of the bad things in your life do may be centered around sex. That is a part of it, but there are others as well. And just how you treat people. Alcohol is often a factor, for sure. But that's the kind of talk I can have with Brian. Like, two gentlemen in their 60s can sit over a coffee and talk close. Like good friends, like no barrier, no artificiality between us. Just, hey, person to person. Come on, man, I'm straight shooting you, you straight shoot me. And that's a wonderful thing. It really is. So, again, I value my dear, dear, dear friendship with Brian. And it was so easy, so natural, and so good of my wife to just say, yeah, sure, stay at Brian's and see you tomorrow. I do have to get home. I said, let's go see American Hustle. Today, there's a playing at 4 o'clock, so I'm going to try and get back, shower up, change my clothes, and get on with it. Yesterday was a wonderful day, actually. Prior to going to the Only, I got Eric Skilling on, and together we did a Canadian podcast buffet. And that was fun. Eric was the perfect co-host for this event. I chose him. I thought it'd be good. He represented something different, something from another time, another era, another location, another set of friends, another style of podcast. So I was really proud. I think the episode went really well, and hopefully we'll have that out very soon. So tune in. Look for the next Canadian Podcast Buffet. This one without Anthony, who I expect will be back for the next, but we'll see how that plays out. That's all up to Anthony. That got done. I had a whole long list of things to do, but after the podcast, no, just before it, I decided I needed to meditate a little, which means turn off the lights and have a little nap. Did that too. So I've got this list of things that are now going to be put off till Monday. That's okay. That's okay. Anyway, welcome to, or goodbye from, the Dixon James podcast. I just have so much pleasure doing this. It just is so good for my head. So let's fade out now.
I know it's fucking random because I played all three endings, so I know that it just generates a random profile. Sure. But like pretty much all of them, it through the randomness, pretty much had like sociopaths. I never go to strip clubs. I'm extremely accurate when I can be. When I can't be, I will fire. There's one mission alone where I probably fired 500 bullets in mission. I have no problem with that. I'm okay with myself now.
I just don't even get this world.
I don't save up bullets. I don't save up the ultimate weapon.
It sounds a little intriguing.
Like, nope, I'm using it on this mission, and I'm never going to look back, and that's what it is.
But I think I'd rather read a book.
Existing Grand Theft Auto, which is also a comforting feeling, which is that I can just fire 500 bullets and go to the store and just be like, I would like 500 more bullets, please. And they're like, here you go. But that...
Never met it, oh, oh, oh.
chick, 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 chick. Yeah. This is the end. You got 15 minutes left to this podcast. And if you've had enough, well, fast forward and you're done. But I'm going to Windsor Saturday. Today is Thursday, one of my non-teaching days, so I'm here in Thompson Park looking out at the snow, telling myself I should be taking a walk just to get myself in shape. But for the time being, I'm just sitting in my car. Yeah, lots to report on. I'm finishing this off because I know I'll start something new when I get down to Windsor. Glad, looking forward to seeing my old friends, Shane and Tom. And Shane's talked me into doing a Talking to Shane podcast, much like the way I do a Talking to Tim. We'll see how that works out. We don't know. But there are other episodes out there that I like to get involved in. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. Not just this Dixon Janes, baby. And it's nice to have a couple. Well, no, I couldn't call them safe. No, I'm often thinking, gee, if I tell somebody I'm involved in podcasting, for example, somebody at my college, I think, well, I can't really let them listen to Dixon Janes. I haven't met a person yet. Well, yeah, there may be a few exceptions, but overall it's just not safe and not a good idea, and people would not really enjoy it. In fact, the listenership for Dixon Janes, it's kind of interesting because I think the people who do listen have some depth to them and are very interesting people. And so maybe it's it just draws in a certain type, and that'll be you if you're still listening at this moment. Yeah. Where to start? I'm not going to Ghana. I talked, if you've been following the story, before Christmas I was going to apply for this project at the college, and then I stopped, and then got a little tap on the shoulder from the dean saying, yeah, maybe you might be interested in trying. So I filled out an application form, and I took a very long time to choose my words. Like, I really filled it out as best I could. It was only 3 pages, but, you know, answering certain questions, basically 3 questions. And I really was quite thorough, and, you know, I'll go back and edit, change this word, change that word, rephrase this, move that sentence around, because I do take these things seriously. I have the feeling it may have only been glanced at, because I did go for my interview. It seems somebody had forgotten. I was invited to the interview, and then the people who were supposed to be doing it didn't know it was going to happen. I was the only one. Said, hey, I'm here. Oh? Anyway, we had it. And I kind of have the feeling, and this is why I don't want people from the college listening, that maybe they had already made up their minds before the interview even started. They skipped quite a few questions. The end result is I'm not going to Ghana in end of April, May, but I've been invited to go to Costa Rica end of February and beginning of March for a couple of weeks. So that's kind of nice. I've got really, I've not even mixed feelings about it, other than just to say I'm almost no feelings. I can't quite imagine it. I'm having a very hard time getting a read on the reality of it. It's just one thing, the word. It's not like I'm planning a trip. There's a college-funded program that I play one role. I'm going there as a, what's it called, project. I'm not the lead, I'm not the guide, I'm the advisor, project advisor. And that is, I'm supposed to be helping the students get the most they can out of this experience that they're volunteered for. Students have already been selected. There are 2 other people already been selected. And I have the feeling they just needed somebody in a hurry, and bam, they picked me. And that's fine. In fact, if this goes well, I'm going to say, gee, can I go on some more of these? Because, gosh darn, this is a way of combining my career and education with the travel stuff. So I think it's very good news. It's just that I need a lot more information. Like, I really like to know. I've had three sets of dates already. Today I got a final set. I hope they are correct. It means I'm going to miss PodCamp Toronto, and I'm kind of bummed about that, because that's always fun. But if I had to say, make a choice between going to Costa Rica or going to PodCamp Toronto in February, Costa Rica wins, hands down. I have no idea what to pack, what to prepare, where I'll be staying. I think my biggest concern is I snore, apparently. And if I'm bunked in with other people, somebody's going to complain. Oh, my God, who's that old fart? Couldn't sleep at all last night. There is an operational procedure of, you know, taking out that little bit of cartilage in your nose. Quite painful afterwards, but I thought if I was going to go in May, I'd have time to do that. Now I'm thinking, holy shit, this is next month. What? I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get prepared for this. So there you have it. It's part of the ongoing story, and I'm sharing it with you just because I've been so up and down about this. You know, it's like, yeah, that's what I got to do. And then backing off altogether and then going ahead and now knowing it's the right thing to do. The scariest part for me, aside from the snoring, is, my God, there's going to be a lot of hiking. It's going to be, it's an ecotourism project going with students in hospitality and tourism. And so I think there's going to be a lot of hiking through forests and climbing, and holy shit, I've told you I can't walk 15 minutes without having to sit down. So I've got to really, They didn't ask a single health question at the interview, which surprised me. All they wanted was my passport. And so we'll see how that shapes out. But my son and my wife tell me, hey, you better get yourself in shape in a hurry. Well, how the hell do you do that? The middle of winter and a freezing cold day, what, you know? I know I should join, you know, get some kind of a membership to where I can do at least some walking, jogging, workout on a machine or something. But damn it. It's another cost to that as well. Yeah. Anyway, let's park that for a little bit. Stay tuned, and I don't know how much I'll be able to record while I'm over there in my role and duties as a non-drinker for 2 weeks. Oh, my God. But we'll see. We'll see. I know overall it's a very good thing. The one thing I did bring is this portfolio I may have mentioned. That's thick. Like, it's got to be at least 6, maybe 8 inches thick of just papers and documents, past resumes, certificates, letters of reference, things that I've done, including Dixon Jane's newsletters, and almost it's my entire life looking back. And I'm very, very proud of it. I showed it to another teacher, and she said, wow, that's amazing. This was a project I had to do when I took the adult education course. And so I brought it to the meeting jokingly and said, I brought this along. I was really hoping somebody would look at it. And, of course, they were in a hurry. They had other interviews to do. And so it was casually flipped through by the person who hired me. But, again, like I say, I think the vote had already been decided beforehand. And she just flipped through. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, that's good. Wow. Interesting. Wow. You got a lot of mediation in there. And I'm thinking, yep. In fact, on this podcast, I'm very confident. I mean, because you are my supporters. If you weren't, you wouldn't be listening. So basically, the listening audience I have for the Dixon Chains podcast is people who sort of buy into what I'm doing, you know, give me a little respect and support. And I really value that very much. And it allows me to be a little bit cocky with the way I speak, the things I say, a little bit self-confident because I'm preaching to my own choir here, okay? And that does make a big difference because I can't do that so well with people I don't know. I'm just a little bit more timid, a little bit more circumspect, I suppose, and a little more cautious. But the truth is, I do think I am the perfect man for this job. Just if you had to choose through people and you add up my mediation, my teacher of adults, my work at the college for the past 5 years, the fact that it's an ecotourism program for students in tourism and hospitality, holy shit, I've had my own tourism business for 20 years. What more could you be asking for? So, there. It's just that, you know, I'm either too full of myself or not proud enough. No, that's not quite right. Does it? No, it doesn't. That doesn't ring true on the Dixon James podcast. Too full of myself, yes, that's for sure. But not as confident in real life as perhaps I could be. Okay, maybe let's put it that way. And so when I flip through this binder, I think, holy shit, man. You have continued to study since your graduation from university in 1972. You've taken three other certificate programs and you're working on a fourth. You have continued to further your education, man. And in each one of those courses, I've had fucking A and A plus. I'm sorry, that's bragging, I know. But it's because, remember, I just scraped through high school, taking an extra year to get my grade 11, because I just didn't like it and I just didn't care. But I've always, always, always seen myself as a guy who's really not very smart. When I listen to people who are really quick, I'm just so impressed. And I'm not that way. But, oh God, I hate going down this path. But I am a survivor. I am a survivor. I am strong in that respect. So anyway, all right. Enough. I've had enough. Number one son is home. My God, how my boys would... Here's a perfect balance. Man, oh man, it's just a matter of minutes. And those boys, my two sons, have put me in my place, have humbled me, have corrected my errors. For example, first night he comes over, he's got a nice dinner. My wife made a very nice Japanese vegetarian dinner for us all. And I quietly asked, is there any nori? Because we had rice and natto. Is there any nori for the rice? And both boys just looked at me, Dad, get up and get it yourself. Quit asking Mom to wait on you. Like, whoa. They called me and they called me right. Like, whoa, they put me in my place. It was also very neat to see my 23-year-old and my 21-year-old, or is it a soon-to-be 24-year-old and a 22-year-old? That's right. Exactly. Just sort of reacting. They hadn't seen each other for a couple of years, or maybe it was only a year. I don't know. A couple of years, I think. And it was just kind of neat to see them bouncing off each other and exchanging. And me, I tried not to get involved. I tried to watch from a distance, look into the kitchen and see these two guys talking clothing and talking watches and things which I don't know anything about. I felt very proud. Holy shit, those are my boys. It was a great, great feeling. It really was. But anyway, like I say, your children will humble you very quickly. And in almost all cases, it's deserved, you know. So, anyway, that's about it. We're winding down. Gosh darn it. I deliberately did not bring a book along with me this time, so I wouldn't be reading you a quote. The book about, supposedly about Kesey, at least half of that book is about the author. It's sort of his story, too. A story which probably wouldn't have ever been published on its own, but it's kind of a parallel story to, you know, there'd be a chapter on Kesey's somewhere doing this, and then suddenly this guy gets in his life. And it is interesting, and he did a lot, and it's... Overall, it's good. Overall, it's good. It's a good read. This is, what is it? I don't know. Acid King or Christ, maybe? Yeah, I think that was it. Something like that. But no quotes for you today. So there you have it. Next time you hear from me, we be from some recordings, I hope, that I'll get done on Kingston. I'm really looking forward to Saturday morning, getting on that train, coming back Sunday morning. It's just going to be a nice little break. I always have fun in, did I say Kingston? Oh, Christ, isn't that awful? Windsor, if I said Kingston. I don't even know, and I don't edit. Windsor. Every time I've gone, I have just had a blast, for sure. Got a drip in, the Fog Lounge. And see Tom, who won't be working that weekend, but I'm going to see Tom anyway. Needle him a bit, bug Shane, visit Shane's cats, share the love, have fun. Oh yeah, hope to see the ladies too. Diane and Carly and whoever else is in the picture. Oh, yeah. So, boys, girls, Scarborough Dude signing off prematurely because I just, this episode just sort of fell together in one big piece, sort of. And it is early, but there'll be another one to follow. So, take care, Scarborough Dude, signing out. Bye for now. Oh, by the way, the music you heard is from Tunes That My Son Gave Me. Another 75 tunes to add to my collection, and I really like his choice in music, but I'm also pretty interested in what number two son gives me, too. And that's the fun of having two sons so completely different. Wow, wow, wow.